I am very thankful to be here today. For a time, I was afraid I wouldn't be able to come at all. One of the dear deacon brethren in our church passed away, and we are to hold his funeral tomorrow morning, and I would ask that y'all pray here for his family and pray for our church at Abilene. It's an honor and pleasure to be here with you today. I can't say that nothing is on my mind, but I'm not sure that some of the things on my mind is expedient to go into this afternoon. I sincerely and earnestly beg for your prayers. I don't have a sermon outline and a bunch of scriptures lined up here, and I must depend upon my Lord. I beg God that sweet Jesus would be gracious unto us and give us liberty to preach for a while, if it be honoring to his name. Give us the grace to do so, and that he would give you the grace to hear if anything is said that would be honoring to him. If I'm not here to extol the name of my Lord, it would go without saying that I'm here for the wrong reason. My desire is today that his name would be honored. Brother Sonny preached on this morning is something I have been thinking about for quite some time as far as being a servant goes. And what Brother Sonny brought before our minds makes me as a minister, if indeed I can be called one, very ashamed. We hear how our Lord called himself a servant, was a servant, and that we that are called to preach his name get offended when we're not called on to preach when we go to a meeting. I find that contrast very shameful. We sometimes misplace our affections for the men that we uphold, that we have favorites in preaching the gospel. But we must remember that they are men, and they are called by the only one that is to and can enable them to preach that word. And without that power, they are nothing else. So when we get to a point to where we feel like we're somebody, and that when we go somewhere and we're not called on to preach, may we fall on our knees in thankfulness that we were able to be there and hear his word preached, and that we are just his servants. Pray for us, brethren. There is such a thing as circle talk. I might better put it here where I can see it better. I'm aware of the arrangements and wish to assure you that my desire is not to stand long, but that any time we spend here would be profitable, beneficial to you, and that my Lord would be glorified is my desire. Now, when we talk in circles, we say things that sound reasonable. We lace it in with the truth, and we come back around to the same point we were before. Now the scriptures don't speak to us in terms of circle talk. There is an end in sight. And that sight is what God has enabled His people to have. And there is a manner in which the end has been accomplished. And that is sure. That is sure. Now, from the time that our Lord gave Himself for us while He walked on this earth until He comes again, there is something for us to do. And that is to serve Him. That's what we're supposed to do. Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And all that have a desire to go out and find some great reputation for themselves in this life, may I remind you of that scripture, that our whole duty is to fear Him and keep His commandments. I'd like to read a verse of scripture that you have heard quoted today already. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, if you have read this verse of scripture, when it says, "for us who knew no sin," those that who knew no sin is not talking about us. It's talking about the one that was made to be sin. Amen. Now, I can't stand here and tell you that I understand how that happened. What I do understand is that my Lord came to this earth born of a virgin without sin. And He died the same way. And yet the Father made Him to be sin. That's something that's very confusing to my mind. However, it isn't necessary that I understand the way that God did things. It is necessary that I believe what He said. Now, what He's saying here is all the guilt, all the penalty that we have committed and will commit was laid upon our Savior. And the wrath of God that was directed toward us was misdirected upon our Savior at that point. It was directed to the one that was the real sacrifice. I refer to it as being a substitutionary atonement. Some might have misgivings about that. But I wish to clear that up in this manner. I'd like for us to understand that Christ was the real sacrifice. There was no one that could make the sacrifice that would accomplish that which it was intended to do. I could have gone to a cross. I could have died. I could have said I was going there to die for somebody else's sins. But when I died, everybody had been just as bad off as they were before. Christ was the real sacrifice. The point here is that He was the substitute sinner. We were the real sinners. He was the one that went to the cross and paid a price that fulfilled the debt we owed to the law. And because of this, we have no need of circle talk. We have no need of misunderstanding what the Bible is telling us. Now, there are those that would tell us things that tend to overthrow the faith of some of the small flock. Amen. of which I consider myself. And may we understand this, that which God did is everlastingly secure for His people.
Amen.
And it will not change, my friends. May we leave this place with a faith that relies upon God and not in the wisdom of man. The things that I get up and say, if I use the pretty $64 words, if I use the words that would impress your minds, I do not wish that your faith would stand in that. My desire is that your faith stand in that which is of God. And that's where our faith must rely. And until the Lord works His work by His Spirit in our hearts, we have no faith. We have nothing by which we can hear that which God is saying. We have nothing by which we're able to understand what God is telling us. And when that faith comes, we're able to hear. Apostle Paul said, all men have not faith. That means that all men don't have faith. I'm like Elder John Connolly on that point. I don't need a new translation to make that any plainer. It's very simple. And the simplicity of Christ is what we need to rely upon and stick with. When we get into those words that impress those that hear us or read about it, my friends, they begin to get impressed with our knowledge. My desire this afternoon is not that you would be impressed with something that I'm not equipped with anyway. But I would desire that if that which I say would come from God, that it would enter into your hearts. Because that's what I want to speak to you. I don't wish to speak to your intellect. I don't wish to speak to you that would cause your thoughts to come somewhere. I wish to point your heart toward that one. I wish to point your heart toward Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May we rest assured this afternoon that I don't wish that your thoughts would go to the cross and linger there. No. Paul said, yea, rather is risen. That we would look beyond the cross and that we would look to that cross for what it accomplished. And what it accomplished is that which we could not do this day. Where does your faith lie? What do you see of your Savior? Who is this God that you serve? Is this God one that counts the works that you do, means by which you become one of His children? Or is this God the one that counts our works as something that He's given us the ability to do? And by the works that we perform, we are glorifying Him. The things that we do one for another are glorifying to Him. Do you realize that that's the way we serve our Lord, is by serving one another? So many times we look to ourselves for glory and honor. We look to others to pat us on the back. We look to others to hand the compliments out to us. But my friends, if God has given you a gift to honor and glorify Him, take that gift and do so to His honor, and don't allow anybody to pin the blue ribbons upon the wrong person. God gave you the gift. It's to return to God in glory, in honor, in praise to His holy name. And that's what we come to church for, to give the sacrifices of praise to Him, being the fruit of our lips that comes from our hearts. May we never forget that without the heartfelt understanding that we have, without the heartfelt honor that we give unto our Lord, it's all useless. It is without honor to Him. And they that would come to Him to worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the thing that scares me about that text is that when I began to examine those that believe the truth, the number diminishes greatly. And then when I think about those that might believe some truth, but that they don't have the spirit, the number diminishes even more. May we recognize how fearful we ought to be to stand upon the truth. truth of God and do those things that are right in His sight, that He might give unto us the blessings. Do you realize that is what our Lord sees, that the works that we perform here, and we should be zealous of good works, but that those works, they don't accomplish anything as far as our eternal destiny goes. May we ever realize the purpose for our faith. But children of God, as we look at this, may we realize that our works do accomplish something, that there are those around about us that would see those good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, and those good works that we perform by the grace of the Holy God give unto us His blessings, and by those blessings we're able to sing and shout praises to His name, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made of the righteousness of God in Him. Children of God, as we examine the Scripture, it lays upon me a great weight of guilt. It lays upon me a great weight of puzzlement, of bewilderment. It lays upon me a great sense of shame in realizing that that which I do in this life caused my Savior to come over here and suffer. It caused my Lord to come over here and suffer unspeakable things against His body. But we have the great realization that in all of this that our Lord did upon this earth, He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for those whom He loved. Not a one that He loved will be destroyed. Not a one that He loved will ever apostatize in an eternal sense. That's impossible. The Lord has told us, all that the Father giveth me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. As we come to this realization, by faith, my friends, by your faith, are you able to believe these things? When we come to this realization, by faith, again, that which God gave us, may we ever understand that God in all His glory is still sitting on His throne, and He's not looking at a Travis Brown to earn his way there. He's not looking to anybody to earn their way there. Why? Because it's through the blood. It's through that precious blood that was shed for you and me. That blood that our Savior shed on that cross. And where, however you see that, my friends, may you look at this. May you realize that blood came. It was real. That was a real human body on that cross. It was a body that felt pain. It was a body that thirsted. He hungered. He wept. He felt all the senses of emotion that you and I feel. Yet learned, this is something that can confuse our minds so much if we don't look at it in the proper sense. Yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. How is this that our Lord, being God, yes, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ was God. How is it that this God could learn anything being God? He should know everything. Well, let's examine just a moment here in the letter to the Hebrew children, what He tells us about this in the 5th chapter, if I may turn to it quickly. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And we find over in the Philippian letter the further explanation of what's telling us along this same line. I believe Brother Sonny quoted this morning also. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here, children of God, is where we find our Lord learning something that caused Him to have an understanding as a high priest of what He understood.
understood as high priest as the sufferings and the passions and the things that his children go through. And because of this, we now have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Never ever forget this. I realize that our minds can be confused by what it says about being made to be sin, the children of God. May we ever look at this in its proper aspect. And that's God taking our sins and placing them upon the Son. And you and I today are here today singing praises to God from our hearts because that happened. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We don't, even if I were given a lot of time this afternoon to say things to you, we don't have enough time to tell you of all the things that our Lord did for us while He was here. We don't have the ability to see into all things anyway. But you see, what we do need to know is found right here. And if our faith is in the proper place, if our faith is upon God, then we're going to be okay. We're going to find that which is in the Scriptures. We're going to understand what God blesses us to understand. And we should leave the secret things alone that belong to Him. Let's not try to get into areas that we don't belong in. I won't get into those things. But what God has revealed, may we devote our time to studying. Now, the writer said that he supposed that if it were possible, that the world could not contain all the books that could be written about what our Lord did while He was here. And I know that in my life, and through my life, I have heard people say that they wish they could know more about the Lord than what the Scriptures tell us. And they're in search of these records about God and creation and about Jesus while He walked on this earth. But now what puzzles me is that which God tells us about in this Word, we don't even spend time in this Word to find out about our Lord. What's the point in going out there to find out something else? Right here is what we need to know, because this is what He left us with. And it's really not that big of a book. It really isn't. But the study of this book is more than what you could devote in a lifetime. Men have passed before that were much more aged than anybody here that have spent their lives in the study of this Word. And at the time of their passing, they were still learning about the Scriptures. We talk about a young man before he's ordained, he's exercising. Well, you know, with me, I've never stopped exercising. I'm still exercising. And I hope that I will. I hope that my life will be to spend and be spent in His cause and for His gospel. I hope that I will do that which I should do, which I feel the Lord has called me to do. I hope that I will do those things that are honoring to Him. And I hope and pray that I never ever say, believe, preach, or teach anything that's not honoring to Him and that would cause your faith to be overthrown. God bless you. Thank you. Pray for Brother George.